Glad to be here. We're in a series called A Season of Grace, Christmas Eve. I really want to encourage you to invite someone that needs to experience hope, that needs to know that God still shows up, because that is the message of Christmas, is in the midst of darkness, light came into the room. Darkness was dispelled by the light of Jesus, and hope still shows up. And so I want to encourage you. I'm excited about the Christmas Eve services. It's going to be a great time, but a great chance to share of the hope that we have. And I think hope is maybe the most powerful word in the English or any language. A book and a mentor of mine that did a whole book on hope, and we did a series on it one time. I don't know if you remember this, but people can go about 40 days without food at the max. They can go 7 or 8 days without water at max. They can go 7 or 8 minutes without air. I wouldn't want to try that. I don't know how you could do that. But you can't go a minute without hope. Hope is a powerful thing. And that's what Jesus has come to bring us. He has come to bring us hope. But hope is what we're waiting for. Hope is the evidence of things not seen. So we don't hope for things that we already have. We hope for what we hope to be, what we hope will come. And I don't know about you, but I think most of us in this American westernized culture that we live in are much like me. We're not very good at waiting on those things. We are not good waiters. Anybody else not a good waiter in here besides me? It's just kind of the American way. We're not very good at waiting. We're not good at waiting in the drive-thru. We're not very good at waiting in the driveway. We're not good at waiting when we drive. We're not good at waiting in the doctor's office. We're not good at waiting on just about anything. We're not good at waiting for Christmas. Kids are ready to open some gifts. We're done waiting. We're ready to open those bad boys. We are not good waiters. But the hardest wait of all is waiting on God. I believe that's one of the hardest things that we do, is to wait on God. And some of you are in that season of waiting right now. You're waiting for God. You're waiting on an answer. You're waiting for a breakthrough. The message today is grace when you're in a season of waiting. And if you're in that season today, you're in that season of waiting, you may be asking questions like, God, where are you? Where have you been? Where are you? Maybe you've been praying for healing, only to be waiting. Maybe you're praying for a marriage, and no answer is coming. Maybe you're praying for God to help you in the season of a painful divorce, and it's like you're asking God to give you peace and give you understanding, and you're waiting. Maybe you're a single person, and you're waiting on God. You're praying on God for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, and you're praying for God to do something in your life, to move in your life, but you still find yourself single longer than you wanted to be single. There's many things that we wait for. You pray, and yet you're waiting. You cry, and yet you're waiting. You hope, and yet you're still waiting. It leaves us with these questions. Does God hear me? Does God care? Has he forgotten me? This is no strange thing throughout history, and certainly it was true 2,000 years ago in Jesus' day that they were waiting. In fact, waiting a lot longer, more than our lifetime. They were waiting for 400 years. There was a season of darkness. The last word of the Lord that came from Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, it was 400 years before Matthew, before they heard a word of the Lord. There was prophets that I read in Hebrews chapter 1 today. It was my devotional reading. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says that the prophets spoke at many different times in the Old Testament. The way God spoke is he spoke through the prophets. But now it had been 400 years since there had been a word from God. There was darkness in the land. There was a feeling, a sense of, God, where are you? Do you hear me? Do you care? Have you forgotten about us? I mean, we've gone 400 years since we've last heard a word from a prophet, heard a word from the Lord. Where are you? And today, the first scripture we're heading today, it was 750 years since this prophecy was given to us that was fulfilled when Jesus was born. Isaiah 7:14, 750 years before Jesus fulfilled this prophecy, it says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. And the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And yet here there are 750 years later, there is no word from the Lord. There is no fulfillment of this prophecy. When Jesus entered into this world, excuse me, I'm spitting all over you, Gary, apologize for that. Most of you didn't see that and didn't need to know about it. I don't know why I tell you what I do up here. You okay, Gary? Okay, all right, I want to make sure that shower back there on that front row is kind of tough. No one else is going to want to sit on the first and second rows now because they're going to get a shower from the pastor when they get here. Oftentimes, they find themselves waiting 750 years, 400 years since the last word from the Lord to the time that Jesus was born, a period of darkness, a period of despair, a period of wondering, God, where are you? When are you going to show up? Crickets. And maybe today you're here. And maybe you find yourself in a season of waiting, and you feel like you're only hearing crickets. The good news is this: 400 years is a reminder to us that God's silence is not his absence. If you want to follow along in your notes, that's the first one. God's silence is not his absence. I don't ask Pastor Dustin very often for special requests, but it was just coming to my heart and my mind and my thinking as I was preparing this message that we're going to close in a song, one of my daughter's favorite songs that I was introduced to 4 or 5 years ago, and we sing it sometimes. It's called Waymaker. And in the words of this song, it talks about even when we don't see God working, even when we don't feel that he's working, he's always working. God is at work. God's silence is not his absence. And it's not just the words of a great song. It's not just the lyrics of a great song. It's also confirmed in Scripture. Galatians 4:4-5 say this: "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that they might receive adoption to sonship. But when the set time had fully come." Some translations say, when the time was right. When the time was right. So, really, God? 750 years? 400 years? Why so long? When is the right time? Do you not see that there's darkness? Why did God wait so long? And I believe we're going to see this. I believe we're going to see that God's waiting was because he was preparing. In the midst of our waiting, God is preparing. He's preparing something bigger. He's something better. He's preparing a bigger blessing. Because God's ways is higher than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. We can only see this little life of ours. God sees all of eternity. And there's a big picture that he is planning and unfolding. And we see it in Genesis, at the very beginning, when God came to Abraham, he said, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." All peoples. When God appeared to Abraham and gave a special blessing that he's going to make him into a great nation, he didn't want this blessing just to be for a few people. He wanted it to be for all people. He wanted it to be for all nations. Luke 2:10, when it was fulfilled, about the time just when Jesus was about to arrive, it says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, Christ the Lord.'" All the people. God's plan was for all the people. What's God up to? What was he doing in this 400 and 750 years? What was he doing in the midst of this prophecy that was left unfulfilled? What was he doing in this 400 years of darkness? What was God up to? He was up to a lot of things that now we look back. Hindsight's always better than foresight, right? We always can look back on things and go, okay, this makes a little bit more sense. We have the advantage of hindsight that they did not. And what God was doing is he was preparing all peoples. He was preparing the world. So during this 400 years, God brought Alexander the Great, and he brought him in to take control and conquer the whole world. Now, it wasn't all great that took place under Alexander the Great, but he conquered the whole world. And in conquering the whole world, we had for the first time since the Tower of Babel that man instituted a common language. And the common language was Greek. And in that Greek language, it allowed for the Bible to be translated in a common language. So the Old Testament, everyone was able to start being able to read the Jewish Bible. They were starting to be able to read God's story, and it was becoming open to them. Now, there's no kingdom that lasts forever. And Alexander the Great was overtaken in 63 BC. He was taken over by the Romans. That led up to Jesus' day. And the Romans were no picnic either. But because of their iron fist and their rule, and because people were afraid and frightened, there was a relative time of peace. And in that time of peace, there was highways and roads and infrastructure that was built. And the Romans built this infrastructure. And they're just thinking they're building their kingdom. But God's using what they're building to set the stage, to set a platform for the message. Because at the same time, Jews were being scattered everywhere. So you have a roadway, you have highways, you have the Jews being scattered everywhere. God is setting things up. He's setting a platform up so that all peoples can hear the good news. All people can hear the gospel. All people can receive this Savior. And it's such a wonderful news that while God's people waited, God was at work. And sometimes we think God's not working because we're waiting. In the waiting, we have to trust that He is working. Does that mean that it's easy? No. Is it often hard? Yes. But He was preparing them. And if we can know something about God, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if God was preparing them for something bigger, we have to trust that God is preparing us as well too. He's preparing us in the things in our life, the things that aren't easy. In fact, your setback may be God's set up. The thing that you might look and think, this is not good. And it doesn't mean that it is. But God may be using it for His good and for His glory. Romans 8:28, we often say, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. God works in all things, not just in the miracles. Sometimes we just think, okay, God, man, He worked because, man, He showed up, person was healed, the couple was reconciled. We saw God do a miracle in someone's life. We think, okay, God showed up. Thank you, God. No, God shows up in all things, not just the miracles, but He shows up. Yes, He shows up in the waiting. His absence, His silence is not His absence. He is there. He's in the waiting. And I think about this, and I thought about a story I read recently, and maybe years ago, some of you might have read The Hiding Place and Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian out of the Netherlands, her and her family, during World War II, during the Holocaust, and what they're famous for, and in The Hiding Place, what she outlines is how their family harbored Jews. They quietly kept a hiding place, a safe place, in a closet behind a secret door. And they would hide Jews because they were trying to spare as many as they could and save as many lives as possible. Well, when their family got caught and found out, they too got thrown in the concentration camp. And Corrie ten Boom, all of her family died, including her sister Betsy. But before they died and they were thrown into this concentration camp in December of 1944, they were thrown into this camp, and Betsy and Corey's faith would be tested like no other because the conditions were horrible. They were beyond bearable. It was a facility meant to house 400 women, and they had 1,400 ladies in this facility. There was disease. There was death. They were beaten. They were mistreated. And if they didn't die from mistreatment or beaten or starvation, they died from disease and infestation. They had all these different things and all these terrible conditions that they were living in. Yet Betsy was holding on to her faith, and she told her sister Corey, she said, "Betsy, we need to give God thanks. We are called to give God thanks." And she shared this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. She said, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Give thanks in what? All. Give thanks in all circumstances. I'm not going to try to fill in the gaps of what all circumstances might be for you, but I can only guess and question and wonder if there's some of you going through some things today and you're going, "Really? Don't feed me that. Give thanks in all things." How bold, how arrogant for you to say such a thing with the things that I'm going through. I'm not saying it. And I'm not saying it's easy. This is God's plan for us. He says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And Corey's sister Betsy said, "We need to give God thanks in all situations." Well, their particular cell block, called cell block 28, their particular cell block had an infestation of fleas. And Betsy said, "Corey, we need to give thanks, even thanks for the fleas." And she says, "You're crazy. This is impossible. I'm not going to give thanks for the fleas." And she said, "Give thanks in all circumstances, Corey. We're to give thanks in all circumstances. We need to give thanks for God. For whatever reason, he's put us in the midst of this flea bag infestation of the block." So this 1,400 ladies are broken up in different cell blocks. And in this cell block of this particular block 28, the guards, they were terrible. They abused, they tortured, they starved them. But for some reason, they left cell block 28 alone. They didn't go into cell block 28. Well, we now know, and they would find out later, those guards didn't want to go into cell 28 because it was flea infested. They didn't want to go in there. They didn't want to be a part of it. So that allowed them to sneak in some Bibles that got snuck in, which was against everything. They allowed them to have Bible studies. It allowed them to share the gospel. And many ladies came to salvation in Jesus Christ. Many of them died, but many of them came to faith in Christ before their death. Betsy and Corey shared Jesus with them, and we learned that God will work all things out together for our good to those who are called according to his purpose. And in the end, even Betsy, even though she died on this earth and died in that concentration camp, she has hindsight and would tell us today it was worth it all, because God's grace was there in the waiting, and God was preparing a place for me. And if he goes to prepare a place for you, Jesus said, "I will come back and receive you that you may be where I am." And we know that in Revelation it says when death is done and we are in eternal life with him, Jesus says there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more brokenness, no more death, for the old order of things will be gone and the new has come. We will not know what death is when the waiting is over. We will be saved. You see, Betsy and Corey learned something, that before God does something good through you, he often does something good in you. And I think if Corey and Betsy were here today, I think they would tell you, don't waste your waiting. I mean, you're going to be in it anyway. Life is just hard. There's brokenness, there's pain. We live in a broken world. So we have two options of how we're going to deal with that. We can give thanks. We can trust God that he's working in our waiting, that he has a plan. Like my friends in our church, modern day example, my friends, and my neighbors, Rob and Janet McClarty. We just live about four doors down the way from me. I can be to their house in 1 minute. Many of you know, and I've gotten to know Rob and Jana in the last few years since they've been at our church. When Rob and Jana first came to our church, Rob, a former law enforcement officer, strong, sturdy as an ox. I mean, he's not a guy I would mess with. I know he could take me, and I'm not afraid to say that. But in these last year and a half, 2 years, he's developed some conditions. I can't even pronounce what they are. All I know is this. Rob is in 24/7 constant pain. On his worst day, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'll ask him, where are you? What's your number today? And there's times where it's an 11 on a scale of 1 to 10. A good day is a 6. A great day is a 4. But he's in constant pain. He cannot come to church. He watches every single week. But what I've watched in Jana and Rob is I've watched their lives. And Jana is an avid walker. She walks in our neighborhood. And they said she's often, and Rob has said the same, one thing that's happened in all of this is God has given us time to pray. God has given us time to pray. And oh, by the way, God has given the gift of encouragement. I've talked about Rob before. He's the guy that every day, every Sunday on my way home, I will have a text from Rob telling me what he gained from the message, telling me good job, and telling me what God is doing in his life. And they're words of encouragement. And they said, we don't like what's going on. We don't understand what's going on. We're seeking for answers. We've been to the Mayo Clinic. We're trying to find where God is in this, and we're waiting on him. We're trusting in him. But sometimes it is hard. It's unbearable. It's unmanageable sometimes. But in all of that, in their waiting, they are choosing to lean into God. They're choosing to trust in him. They're choosing to say, God, okay, in this season, you've given us more time to pray. And so you have some prayer requests you need to send my way. I'll run it through them because they said by their own mouths, they have more time to pray. And they've been praying more than they ever have been. But it's not just praying for themselves. It's praying for others. It's praying for our church. It's praying for me. It's praying for needs. And oh, by the way, if you're new here in recent days in the last year or so, and you go to the Blue Balloons on Monday or Tuesday that week, you're very well probably going to get a call on your recording or in person from Jana calling you, welcoming you to this church, and checking about how your experience is. Before God does something good through you, he often does something good in you. We are continuing to pray that God would bring healing to Rob's body. And in fact, I wasn't planning on doing this, but there's no time like the present to pray, so let's just pray now. Can we do that? Heavenly Father, I know you're watching, Rob, and in Jesus' holy name, there's a couple hundred people here in this first service. And Lord, we're praying for your healing. In Jesus' name, in the powerful name of Jesus that we sang about, we're praying for your healing. We know that God still heals. We still know that he does a great work, and we're asking God for you to reach in and touch Rob in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. Amen. Continue to pray for Rob and Jana. I'm so grateful for them today. I think they would tell you, Corey and Betsy would tell you, don't waste your wait. Maybe you're for praying for your marriage today and nothing seems to be changing. Let God change you. It's out of your control. You can't control. You can only control you. Let God work in you. Let God do a work in you. Maybe you're praying for in your singleness that you, God knows the desire of your heart, and you're praying for that right person to come into life, to your life, that husband or that wife. And as you're praying, let God do a work in you. Let God build your character. Let God build your purity. Let God do a work in you as he's preparing you to be the spouse that God wants you to be. Maybe you're praying for your children or a child that is far from God as the prodigal son or prodigal daughter. In your waiting, let God strengthen you. Let God give you his strength. Let God let yourself know that God loves your children and your child more than you do, and that he's pursuing them. So in your waiting for those answers, let him strengthen you. Maybe you're praying for healing today. In your healing, let God heal your heart. Let God work and shape your heart and form your heart. God is doing a work. If we'll allow him, God is doing a work. Don't waste your wait. Grace when you're in a season of waiting. There's a deeper work, I believe, that God wants to do in our waiting. I'm not going to tell you my story from last week. You'll have to go back and watch it if you want to go watch last Sunday. But one thing I'll just say in that season of waiting that Heather and I were in, I didn't tell you this. It was a good weight loss program. I lost 25 pounds during that time. But what I didn't know then that I know now, and Heather and I know now, God was at work in our waiting. God was at work when we didn't understand. God was at work when things didn't make sense. God was at work preparing us for here, preparing us for what He wanted to do next. Sometimes it doesn't make sense at the time. We can't make sense of it. But in our waiting, trust that His grace is sufficient to get us there. And this is the prayer and the take home that I want you to take with you today. If there's one thing I'd want you to take from this message today, is I'd want you to begin to, especially if you're going through a season right now of your waiting, this would be the prayer I would want you to pray. Lord, while I'm waiting, do a work in me. Just simple. Lord, I don't like this waiting. You can be honest with God. You can't hide anything from God. God knows what you're thinking. He can handle it. He's got big shoulders. You tell Him, God, I don't like this waiting. I'm frustrated in this waiting. But while I'm waiting, would You do a work in me? While I'm in this season of maybe a painful divorce and I'm waiting and I'm, well, God, I still want You to do a miracle. In my waiting, would You do a work in me? As I pray for my spouse, would You do a work in me? As I pray for my children, would You do a work in me? As I pray for healing for my loved one or for myself, would You do a work in me? Lord, while I'm waiting, do a work in me. Because that's the gospel. That God does a work in us. It differentiates us from every other religion in the world, because every other religion says that we have to work to get God. Christianity is the only one that says we can't work, we can't do it. God has to do a work in us. It's His work in us. Romans 5:6 says, you see, just at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. At just the right time, Christ came into the world to bring His salvation and offer it to us. And sometimes we may be thinking, God, this has taken way too long. And we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting. Have you ever thought, let me share 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The verse right before that, verse 8, says, To the Lord, 1,000 days is like a day, and a day is like a thousand. A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Time is this to God. To us, it can feel like forever. And maybe you're sitting here today thinking, I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting. Have you ever thought about this? God might be waiting on you. God's waiting on you. He's waiting. Why hasn't He come back? Why doesn't He relieve us of this suffering, this painful world that we live in, erase it all and bring no tears, no pain, no death? Why doesn't He do that? Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's for a bigger blessing, because He wants more in the family of God. He wants more in His family. He wants more to experience His salvation. Maybe as we think about our waiting on God, maybe God's waiting on you. Maybe God's waiting on you to trust in Him. Maybe God's waiting on you to receive His salvation. Would you pray with me? Your head's bowed and your eyes closed this morning. I just believe that there's probably plenty in here in this room that I don't know what your waiting is, but you're in a season of waiting right now, and you're just like, I need God to help me in this season of waiting. I need His help to trust. I need His help to believe. But if that's you this morning, I'm just going to pray a simple prayer for you, a word of encouragement. You just raise your hand. If you're in a season of waiting, say, God, I'm in a season of waiting. I need You. I need Your help. Yeah, there's plenty of us. Heavenly Father, for my friends, Lord, that are in the season of waiting right now, I don't know what their waiting is. I don't know what their frustration is. But Lord, You know it intimately. And Lord, would You give my friends the faith to believe that even when it doesn't feel like you're working, even when you don't see that you're working, you're at work. You're working in their lives and you're working in their circumstances. Would you give them faith to trust in you in this season? Faith to hold on in this season? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed still this morning, maybe this morning, today is the day God is waiting on you. He's been waiting on you. And he's been waiting on you to receive his salvation, to make him your Lord, to make him your Lord and Savior. If that's you this morning, I would love to pray for you as well too. Would you just raise your hand today? You're going to respond to God's waiting on you. He's waiting. I see your hand. Are there others that you say, I'm going to answer that call. God's been waiting on me, and now it's today I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes to that. Yes, I see you. I see you. Are there others this morning, today is the day God wants to come into your life and give you peace and hope and his presence. Any others this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you for my friends. Lord, they're reaching out to you today. They're acknowledging, God, that they need your presence. They need your help. They want your salvation. They want your touch on their life. And so, Lord, we pray this prayer together in faith, believing, God, that our circumstances may not be different when we leave here, but Lord, we can leave here knowing that you're our Lord and you're our Savior, and that we do not go this journey alone, but you walk with us, you wait with us, you're with us, you're Emmanuel, God, with us. If you open your eyes this morning, we're going to pray a prayer to receive Christ as Savior for those who have raised their hand. It's a prayer we often pray. Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that he gave his life to forgive my sins and was raised from the grave to give me life. I receive your grace by faith. Come into my life. I will follow you. Amen. Amen. Let's celebrate those who have received Christ as their Savior today. I want to invite you back to our Christmas Eve service.